Hey, this is Buck Joffrey, and if you are a high-paid professional looking to break free from the golden handcuffs, listen closely. Now, I went from being a busy surgeon to a real estate investor with over $2 billion in assets under management. And now, I'm on a mission to share the wealth-building secrets of the ultra-rich with you. Imagine legally paying little or no taxes, shielding your assets from risk, and investing in distressed real estate during the current real estate meltdown. Did you know, for example, that right now, the high interest rates have created a rare chance in the market to buy discounted apartment buildings? By seizing this moment, you can position yourself for massive gains when rates inevitably drop. And I'll tell you what, that is exactly what we do in my podcast community together. Don't settle for conventional wisdom. Let me show you how the economy works and how you can use financial education to achieve true financial freedom. Tune into the Wealth Formula Podcast with me, Buck Joffrey, and take control of your financial destiny.
At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
Are you sure we can tell this?
Massive fan of basketball.
Ireland is in dreamland.
The All-Ireland Finals are almost upon us.
There's always good guests on.
Fastest ever seen you run in your life, though.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe at offtheball.com/join.
Highly recommend it.
The Football Pod on Off The Ball.
In partnership with AIB.
Proud sponsors of the GAA Senior Football Championship.
Check out #TheToughest for more.
How's it going? You're very welcome along to the Football Pod. Kind of feels like we're on Zoom. Just the three of us in the room.
It's nice and intimate, isn't it?
Yeah.
Very intimate, yeah. How many are in here? Fire and safety hazard, is it?
Yeah, could be. Did anyone make it to Croke Park last night? A few people. There you go.
Fair play.
This is a fairly exclusive group. Thanks very much for
over.
Coming along, lads. And a lot of Football Pod members here. We really appreciate you tuning in across the year. Somebody was listening to us on a Wednesday. That was nice, lads. Pretty good.
The Wednesday show?
Yeah, exactly.
It's a better one.
Did you have any trouble finding McGrattan's? No? Happy out. We tried to make it as secret as possible. Left it to the last minute. You weren't too sure on that, James, if we should do that. You couldn't find it earlier on.
Secret show or secret guest?
Yeah.
It's a lottery.
Nowhere to park. Did you get sorted?
I parked a mile away. It took me about 40 minutes to walk in.
You had a serious 4 days planned of carrying
around
this
final. As soon as Armagh won that game, it fucked my whole weekend. So I had Thursday, the pod last night. Friday tonight. The night before was always a massive night out.
Yeah.
And then the day of the game, down on the train. Maybe a few pints in Clarny that night.
Yeah.
It's a great weekend. And then once they fucked
up, you're not arsed with Sunday now, like. Arsed not, like.
No. It's not the same. It's not the same.
Paddy, it's 2024.
Yeah.
In 2023, the 2013 team were honoured in Croke Park on the Friday. And you had a great night, didn't you?
Oh, it does. It is.
So 2014, 10 years ago, the Kerry team won. They're all Ireland. Mm. What was Croke Park like today, James?
Oh, I couldn't make it.
Didn't even go.
I couldn't because the whole team from that is still playing club championship, which is on tomorrow in Kerry. So there was going to be nobody there. So it's going to be the
2004
team.
Oh, they were there.
It was Kerry 2004 team and the
it's a great day,
94 team.
Great session.
Okay.
You know. So it's going to be, again, that was going to be the best day of all time. And then fixtures committees.
Yeah, I know.
There you go.
They just don't care about the players enough.
Who's our guest?
Well, we're just going to keep that in the back pocket for a second. You can all hear okay, Kenny. That's brilliant. Just to let you know, the bar is open. It's open during the show. Usually you wouldn't keep it open, but apparently there's a bar tab that has to be filled tonight, so drink away. And we will be revealing our guest in a moment. We're here with thanks to AIB, proud sponsor of the Senior Football Championship. They had us in Croke Park last night with Stephen McDonald and Paul Clancy. Paddy Andrews slipped away very quickly last night, James, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah.
Different kind of fish.
I don't think the show was even wrapped up. He was gone to taxi.
You were sticking for the way the tickets. That happens when you have kids, lads. It's all ahead of you. Yous are fucked. Like. Oh, I was away. I've been awake since 4 o'clock this morning. Like, poor little fella. Jesus Christ. So,
Stevie Mac was a great guest, wasn't he?
Very good.
Yeah. I didn't know what he was saying half the time, though. I couldn't understand yet.
I could see the fear in your eyes.
Because he was sitting next to me and I was trying to look at his lips to see if I could understand what he was saying. I had to look at a big screen to lip read him half the time. Oh, he's a character. He speaks. Kerry speaks fast. He speaks 200 miles an hour. But
he's a great bit of stuff, isn't he?
Brilliant.
Yeah,
it was good. The buzz for both. I know where could it take the piss a bit. It'd be great if it's Dublin and Kerry again, like last year, all traditional stuff. But having these two teams in the final on Sunday, it is very unique. Mm. And just listening to the lads, and obviously a lot of supporters there last night would have been Galway, Armagh based. They both think they're nailed on to win, which is a great place to be.
Class.
But the excitement they see this is the opportunity for so long. What is it, 22 years since Armagh's only win and 23 years since Galway's last one. So for one team on Sunday, it's going to be the be-all and end-all. You can see the energy from even the two boys, like Clancy and McDonald.
They're buzzing.
It's like, this is it for them. So it will. I hope it'll be a good final, but me and Jimmy are there, sort of, basically.
Well, thanks very much for all of you for listening in all year long and for coming along tonight. It was lovely to put this show on. I think it's time to unmask our special guest.
Go on, Tom Cruise.
Let's get him out here. Aidan O'Shea, would you please come on up? Hey. Here we go. Delighted with this. Please put a football pot wide open for the great Aidan O'Shea. Come on, Aidan. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks a million for coming out.
Yeah, not a bad full forward line, is it?
Yeah, we are all right. I'll go out the front a bit and come back in season.
Top of the D.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you know the boys?
I was thinking about that, actually. I think the closest I got to James on the pitch, he made a smart comment to Conor Lane. Do you remember this?
It was a joke. Yeah,
it was a good one. The ball kind of flew over like...
When is this?
This was the 14 drawn game, I'd say, in Croke Park. Yeah.
Do you know what happened that time before I say a story?
This is obviously lie straight away anyway.
You broke my stomach. Yeah, it wouldn't my be chest bone. I had to go for an x-ray. I had a tiny fracture in my chest bone.
From
and he typically accusing me of diving.
Yeah.
Knee you had
your injury history now. It sounds like brittle bone syndrome or something like that you've got going on.
It was a fucking people's elbow. It
was a bit dramatic now, but the ball came over like I think it was a long kick out or something like that. Like a ball kind of came in to intercept it. You and Keithler on the way out. And I don't know, there was a bit of a collision. And you turned up to the ref, you're like, ref, has to be a free. And he was like, big man versus small man, get on with it. And he was like, big man. It's like, I bench 120 kg.
I love that.
I did a little flex in the middle of the pitch.
He was thinking you doing your shit. So. Who was the ref?
I think it was Conor Lane.
He was bigger at that time.
Yeah.
Giving us nothing.
Yeah.
You got a concussion in that game, didn't you?
Following game, yeah.
Ah, okay.
Ran into my own teammate. Two big heads now, to be fair, to be run into. But
that was a stroke of luck, to be fair. But then you both had to go off. Did you go down to 13?
Yeah, I didn't even realise it was... We came in at half time and it was like, honestly, it was like an A&E. It was like, I didn't know Killian had actually been bleeding. So he played on, I had gone off and went into there was a medical room in the Limerick dressing room. Yeah. And I mean, there was blood everywhere. I was like, this is insane. Doc was like running from one to the other, back and forth. And it was a bit crazy.
Did he stitch you up?
Yeah, he stitched, did a pass job on me, you know, the pass job on him.
Did you both come back on or just one of you?
Killian came back on and then I came back on sometime in the second half. Jim Riavad is always a bit
hazy.
Yeah. That was a crazy game of football.
We got in fairness, I will say we got a good bit of luck that day.
I'm glad you said it.
Remember, for the Killian O'Connor penalty, I don't know if people remember, but a long ball went in and Killian O'Connor caught it on the edge of the square.
It was my mishit shot. Yeah, it landed.
Drop short.
Yeah, that's
for fuck's sake, most dangerous thing in the game. And he took on Shane Enright and Shane was on a yellow card.
Yeah.
And Killian was through on goals.
Yeah, yeah.
It would have been a guaranteed goal. Took him down, a black card offence. Ref didn't even take him. He gave the penalty.
Eamon had Mark O'Shea already warming up. And Mark O'Shea had been dropped from the previous week, I think.
Yeah.
And he got him on straight away. And Mark him on.
But if we went down to 14, this game
over? Oh, it was a totally different game, yeah. It was huge. It was a huge decision. But let's not get into it.
We actually had some luck in that year because Durkin kicked on heel the ball in the final then.
He was the worst team to win in all Ireland.
Sure, your goal there in the first half, Zippy blocks it down. Robbie's on the ground.
Donaghy.
Just lands to Donaghy. Just passed into the net.
That was planned.
Planned, yeah. What an assist.
Coldrick wasn't a referee. It was a mead referee though, but it wasn't Coldrick or Goff.
Cormac Riley.
Yeah.
Cormac Riley.
Yeah.
Riley was all right now, yeah. Coldrick was good.
Yeah, I'm real good friend. Yeah.
Wait, do you not get on?
Yeah, I think we had the last next time I saw him was a friendly game, but 5 years later, I don't know why he went off the scene after that game, but.
Maybe we'll save that story for off air. We're going to chat with Aidan for the next 45 minutes or so, but I think we'll offer up a couple of questions from the crowd as well, so you're more than welcome to ask your questions later. I'll ask you, sometimes when we do this, the questions can be, well, it's not that they can be long, but they can be kind of pointed at everybody, so maybe just pick one person that you want to ask a question to, and the lads will answer you as best as they can. So we'll do about 15 minutes of that later on, and I think we have a mic, Kathleen, but the room was small enough that
tight
I
enough.
Just kind
we'll
of that later on as well. Just put the hand up later. I was asking you about that because that wasn't the first time you met James. What was the first time you met James at Donahue?
Yeah, he was kind of like a mythical creature as an 18-year-old. 2008? We were minor in 2008 the same year, but he'd been injured for Kerry.
Who injured?
Yeah, again, surprise, surprise. A broken sternum, I hear. he came on in the semi-final in Croke Park, and we'd all heard about James had done this, James had done that, and we were like, this fella must be outrageous. So he's like, you know, when you're young, you're kind of going around, and you haven't seen these people, but he came on and he had a snapshot to win the game at the very end.
I said, well, four wides on the spin.
Cute on the side.
Trigger happy.
Was that your first time playing in Croker?
Yeah.
You were just mad. But those posts, I want to get a score. Like
those posters are calling you. Yeah, you could be anywhere.
From anywhere.
And that was back in the day of no scoring zones. Once you were inside the 45, it was
bang,
pull the trigger leg.
Yeah. Okay. And you drew that day?
We drew that day,
and then
yeah.
you hammered them in Ennis, I think.
I told you, did you start the following week?
Yeah, the following week, yeah.
Yeah, we played in Limerick, a different result to the one in 2014, but yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
Who did you have on that team?
Shane Nally was our captain, went on to play a little bit with us. Yeah. Robbie was in goal. Kevin Kane, full back.
Yeah,
a couple.
What happened to Kevin Keane at the end?
He did his cruciate. Yeah, he played.
He was on the squad. Yeah,
2014.
Yeah,
who was finished up early? Then?
Who came through? You had a big crowd coming through from that age group.
We had load. Yeah, we had Brian Kelly was in goals. The All Ireland. Fionn Fitzgerald was captain of that All Ireland team.
Crowley.
Peter Crowley, Barry John Keane, Barry John Walsh, Paul Gainey.
Yeah.
So there was a lot.
So Mayo back to the semi final and then All Ireland final. What happened, Aidan?
We drew again, and then as James,
what did James say earlier?
James said it was the Kyle Coney show, which
Kyle
he wasn't wrong,
final.
To be fair.
Yeah,
he was outrageous. We lost Strawn in a replay in Longford, which after extra time was an outrageous, game. Yeah,
a lot of those minor games stand out to me. But I was kind of getting into this a little bit. We'd started the football pod back in 2021, and Andy Moran was on it the first year, and we didn't really know what way it was going to go. Paddy and Andy had never actually spoken. You know, outside of the pod, like he played against each other loads of times, but that's kind of a thing, isn't it, that like when you're playing against each other you don't really get to mingle with other kind of counties. No. It doesn't really happen.
I think you
wouldn't know Paddy really, would you?
No.
From
Shilly Doves, don't talk to anyone.
Yeah.
Can't sort us up now when you finish.
Robots.
Like.
Huh?
I think, I don't know if you probably don't remember this, I think it was 1 week of a final and I don't know why I was in Dublin, but I was in Dundrum with probably one of the brothers and you were walking down one side of Dundrum. And Dundrum, it's not that, certainly like twice the size this width here.
Yeah.
And they're both kind of just like, I was kind of going to go off, just give him a nod, like whatever. But he just like, no. Just keep going.
Ignorant bastard.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, that's the way it's going to be.
it's funny. Like we all say it. Like when you're in and when you're playing, like it's, you're just, you don't want to talk to anyone outside. Like, particularly if there's any, you'd probably talk to teams that you weren't competing with. Because they're not really a threat or a rivalry there, but with Kerry, with Mayo, Tyrone probably that time, Donegal as well, like when you were in, and fuck everyone else, really, was the attitude. There was
it's a bubble, isn't it?
It is, yeah, and maybe it doesn't need to be like that, I don't know, but it is. And it's still like that now, and I was saying to you, Aidan, earlier on, you're still in it. When you finish, you take a step back and you do realise, Jesus, all the lads, you would basically try and kill for 10 years or however long it is, 15 years, we're all pretty similar. Like, we're all just trying to do the same thing
for
our counties.
I think you just build it up in your head. You know, it's like, it's just the way the environments are. You know, and then there's not the crossover that it would have been previously. Like, we've gotten rid of All-Star trips, we've gotten rid of Interpros, we've got rid of
Railway Cup.
Railway Cup.
University is probably the only bit.
In fact, I was the last captain to lift the Railway Cup. It's a fun fact.
That's awesome. Yeah. Chalk that.
I was.
Oh, you were?
Yeah. Okay. So, but like those games, like for example, the boys playing the weekend, like Conroy, would have got to know Conroy through that. We would have had a night out afterwards, a couple of months later for the medals, a bit of crack. They're all gone. So it kind of, and like I realised, you probably, as you say, kind of build it up. And then I think Kenya a couple of years ago had a lot of them. And then you kind of just realise, just all the same, you know, and you kind of pull away the kind of show you put on when you go out in the field for 70 minutes and we're just doing the same stuff.
It's gas. You look at it now and I'd still be close with a lot of Dublin lads as well. It's just, you're different. When you're out, you are out. It's
even with the lads that you played with.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now, after the season, it's back to normal again. But during the season, it is, maybe we took it to the extreme. But I think a lot of the top teams, you look, it's within your camp and anyone on the outside. And whether that's right or wrong, that's just the way it is. You know, so there's not, Dublin players and Mayo players wouldn't have hung around or for that gig. So that was just the way it was.
Like, but even if you do hear that one of your players is great buddies with someone on a different team, you're thinking, why the fuck are you friends with him? You are.
There is a bit of it. Genuine. It sounds.
You almost have to hide your friendship to someone on another team. It's so strange. Like.
Well, like even we went on the, what year did we go to Boston on the All-Star trip?
Yeah.
Like the dub, like it was mad. Like, but obviously the rivalry at the time was sharp.
Of course,
you know. Yeah. And like literally the Dublin players just went that way and the Mayo players went that way. And the only, Keane Sullivan was the only one who kind of just bridged the gap a little bit, just for about 5 minutes. And then we just avoided each other for the whole week.
Keane was very diplomatic.
It was a fact.
So beautiful.
The Donegal lads were good, neutral.
They don't give a fuck.
Yeah. They're straight into it, no matter
you're going for a pint.
Yeah, I'll go with you.
Yeah.
No matter what.
I think we need to bring some of these things back. The All-Star trips.
Not the Railway Cup, Tom.
Yeah,
bring it back. Bring it back.
Edo, you have a great piece of history.
Please, give us that one.
The last captain.
Because Stevie Mack wanted to bring back the international rules. He loved
100%.
That. 100%.
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
Find a way to make it work.
I know, but like, if you're watching it, some people hate it, but like, I watch AFL, shouldn't say this out loud, but Friday, Saturday, Sunday morning, like,
watch it.
Oh, yeah, consistent.
Not just the clips, the matches?
No, the full matches.
Oh, it's a long match.
They're long.
Brilliant.
Jeez.
Brilliant.
Too long.
International rules, brilliant.
But you had a chance to go.
I've done it.
You played it.
Yeah. I played
with Ireland, but go to Australia like proper.
I did. Yeah, I remember. God rest his soul, Jono persuading me and just not go basically. But he just said, go enjoy the trial, Richmond and Western Bulldogs. Went over for 2 weeks and yeah, it was enjoyable. And I signed they wanted me to sign a pre contract for the following year. And to be honest with you, I came to Dublin. Figured out that calories actually impact my weight and my football and I'm shy. So I'd say Jono was closer to dropping me than he'd prefer to set me off to Australia, to be honest. But
you went DIT that time, didn't you?
Yeah.
You won a Sigerson and...
Following year. First year I was at home doing my leaving cert and sure, Mam was looking after me and all that good stuff and came a little bit too easy. I marked like Finian Hanley in my first game starting and scored 1-1 and not being boastful here, and I was then the next game was like Conor Gormley. I was like, geez, that senior intercounty crack is easy, you know. And then, it all came crashing down about 6 months later. I was in college and having way too many calories every day. So, it was just about getting the game the following year at Mayo. So, I think that interest died pretty quickly.
Mm.
Would it have appealed to you? Because it strikes me that you live your life like a professional footballer, like many intercounty players do nowadays.
It would have interested me, but I think at the same time, from those chats with Jono and then even Dad, Dad didn't want me going anywhere. I remember we lost to Longford that year and New York Leitrim were on to me to come out and play and there was the conversations happened. Dad was managing the local team. He's like, that's great. He's like, you're not going anywhere. I was like, New York, summer. He was like, looking at me, he's like, just not happening. So I was like... that was fine, but I would have. There was a slight chance when I went over to Australia a couple of years later on the international rules. I had a conversation with a club at the time, who were asking me to see would I be interested in doing it, and I just life had moved on in terms of where I was, and I was settled in. Like I was very lucky with the way football planned out in terms of Mayo, so it wasn't really something I was interested at the time.
So you've got a busy couple of weeks.
Yeah,
a lot going on right now.
Yeah,
we bumped into each other earlier on in town, and you were on your way to pick up a suit.
I was picking up some bits and bobs for the wedding, all right, yeah.
2 weeks, is it?
I was supposed to pick it up last week, but I had a bit of a stag, so...
bit of a stag,
yeah. I missed the first day of my stag for a club game, which is a bit ridiculous.
What? But,
yeah. We had a club game last weekend. The Stag was Saturday, and the boys proceeded without me, so there was no issue there.
is that a thing? Does that happen?
That can happen.
Yeah, we had a chance of staying up, or we went to a relegation playoff, I was telling the lads,
okay.
And it's on next Friday now, which would have given me a clean run into the wedding, but we had to win the game and hope for a couple of results to go our way. It was a convenient draw for anybody from Davits and Park listening. Yeah, there's okay. A convenient draw I'm questioning, but anyway, it's neither here nor there. But the wedding, yeah, 2 weeks today.
But you know, isn't like you're talking about international rules or bringing back the Railway Cup or anything like that. Even with the split season, which is getting a lot of airtime and people giving out about it and this, that and the other, there is so much going on. There's no windows for these types of games. There's obviously the hurling, should it go to a replay or not this year, like we just rather get this thing finished. Sunday is going to be unbelievably tight. You can see that going extra time again, possibly a replay. There's so much in the calendar already. Players being asked to play so many games. You look at Cliff, is the most high profile fella. He has played about a million fucking matches in the last 2 years and he is running on empty. And he's being asked by, you guys have about 20 club championships down in Kerry as well, so you just don't help yourself.
But, they're all very important.
But trying to add in then, oh, we should bring back the international rules, or we should bring back the Railway Cup, which are unbelievable events in their own right. But there just doesn't seem to be.
What about my proposal for the Railway Cup? And I think this is the answer, because I would love to see you boys in action. I reckon retired inter-county players over the age of 30, under the age of 40, before they can play Masters, they line out interprovincials.
I can hardly walk this length of this room with me back. Never mind, try and play.
I think if that could be a little middle ground.
But
there.
If you're like this weekend, like for supporters coming to games, like there's Saturday, one maybe? Game. Like you imagine, like you look at other sports across the world, like AFL make a festival of the week of their, like, there should be games on, like, watching other players tomorrow. Like, the All-Ireland Final should be the pinnacle, and there should be something on, like, Saturday that supporters can go and watch. Mm. Like, you know, it just, I think we're missing an opportunity there around something. Like, you know, there should be no games in any county, in my opinion, the weekend of the All-Ireland Final.
Yeah,
it should be sacred, and we should do something more to just promote.
Yeah.
But I think we say in Dublin, was it the,
great point.
And in August, it's coming back, the college American football.
Yeah.
They took over the whole city. For a week, they closed down fucking Lime Street.
College Green, yeah.
But, you know, how many Galway and Armagh fans were down last night with us? I don't know, is there many here now?
But,
yeah.
There's a few, like, the lads
what have we got, Armagh?
The lads are on the rollover for the next 4 days. Like.
Yeah, but they should be.
I agree, and I think the GAA kind of are trying to maybe address this somehow, like, but I totally agree, particularly with the hurling last weekend, the football this weekend. The season, they're condensed everything in. You have a window here from Friday to Sunday.
So you're thinking Railway Cup. Saturday, anyone not involved?
It doesn't even have to be serious. There's going to be a bit of crack. Like, you know, like I remember playing All-Ireland Weekend out in Kilmacud. Like,
and sevens,
like, it was unbelievable crack. Like, and there was people who just wanted to go and watch it, and they would go religiously to it and see it. Like, you know, so I think there's definitely something.
You were playing against one of our guests last night?
Yeah, Stevie from Killeavy. He was in goal for when we played Killeavy.
Flykeeper, was he?
Flykeeper. Myself and Rob are 17 or 18 at the time.
Did he spend any time in the goal?
He was unreal. Honestly, I was like, this is brilliant. Like, I think he just maybe just retired. He was unbelievable. In goal, up the field, kick out, saving goals, everything.
Did he retire young enough, did he?
Retired 11. He captained Armada here and retired in 11. So
that'd be right, yeah.
He would have been 90. He would have been 18, 19 and 99. So, geez, my maths aren't working now. It's late in the week. So 32, maybe?
32, yeah.
But sure, you were young enough when you retired. How were you? 28?
I'm still 28. Yeah, no, I was 32. Yeah, 31, 32. Yeah,
Paddy, what were you?
You know, it's plenty of time, because otherwise you're, what age are you now?
Easy now.
they're trying to lead you to something here.
31,
they're just trying to lead them in.
Paddy, what were you?
32, great.
You're retired.
Go,
how old are you now?
It's a great age to go.
I was 34 there 2 weeks ago. Yeah,
wow. So, yeah. And you've just broken the record for outfield championship appearances. Yeah. Stephen Cluxon is away on his own as the goalkeeper, but you overtook Sean Cavanagh during the summer there. And you're moving as good as ever? Am I right in saying that? Is that a fair observation?
Yeah, it's a mad old stat, to be honest with you, but you never would have thought you'd get there, but that's not something we as players don't even look at that stuff, but it's just like all of a sudden somebody says to you, this where you're at, but...
It's class, though. It is cool.
Yeah, it's cool enough, I suppose, but it's not something I kind of think about or anything like that. It's just... And not being a boring answer, but like I always say to the boys, we've obviously everybody's got loads of talented players in Kerry or Dublin or wherever it is. I say, like, unless you're available to play, like, you know, like don't come, you know, there's no point being the best footballer in Cavan or Armagh and you're injured all the time. Mm. So I always say, like, I've been very lucky. I've been available for every single championship game that since I started playing, bar one. So you're bound to play a lot of games. But
is
yeah.
that a fluke game that you're available for every?
Probably a bit. Yeah, 100%.
Or are you doing something? Are you?
No, I think there's a bit of luck in it. Obviously, because you know sometimes you're going to get caught in a contest and break a sternum.
A malicious
assault. Yeah, but like, yeah, like no, I think as you get older, you're a bit more. You know, in terms of prep and lifestyle and all that good stuff.
So once they got you out of Dublin?
Yeah, I couldn't wait to get home, to be honest. Yeah, it was a great 4 years.
Lots of distractions here.
Yeah, a lot of distractions. So, no, I couldn't get out of here quick enough.
But it's funny, you do say, like, I was on the scrap heap by the time I finished. You had a bad run, Jimmy, with injuries. A lot of players, it's the best time of your life. It is. And I hope my wife and young son don't see this.
But you go definitely listen.
But it's very difficult to replicate the buzz and the excitement you get, just that environment, for however long you're lucky to experience it for. And it's one of the hardest things you'll do when you step away. Sometimes it's easier because you don't have a choice. Your body just won't let you play at that level anymore. But I would always say it, it's a very personal decision for any player. Even if they feel they can still do it, and the manager's giving them a look on, you should probably hang up those boots. It's if they feel they've something to offer and your body is okay, you would always say, why would you leave? Yeah. You know, it is the best time. It's a privilege to be out there. And it's a testament to you, Ada, because you're right. You start out playing. It's highly competitive, particularly in the counties we're in. There's lots of competition. There's lots of pressure. And we are competing at the very, very highest level of it. But to do it for as long as you've done, and if the body's good, keep the show on the road, man.
Yeah, I think there's a bit of... I always feel as well there's an onus on... Like, it's easy to just kind of walk away in one way. As in, like, you know, I've played for so long and just walk away. But, like, I still feel there's a responsibility in terms of whoever might be, like, Jeremy Duffy, young player in Mayo at the moment come through. Like, you know, I'm sure he... You know, I can teach him a thing or two. And, you know, and, like, if that means I'm not playing, then that's fine. But at least I still feel like I can add value in terms of that, if that is going forward. And if I'm happy to be there and do that for them, well, then, you know, that's important, I think. You know, because, like, you know... I see players and I feel they kind of go before they should and they could add a little bit more just for a little bit longer. I know it's very much a personal decision, but that's the way I see it, and I'm lucky enough that life has been good to me and allowed to do it.
The only thing is, what's worse sometimes in retiring is not being any good, like, anymore. Do you know what I mean? Say, if you thought at one stage, this comes easy, or, you know, I'm beating this fella in training, I'm still, and then you see yourself not as quick or not as powerful, or maybe missing more shots because you can't get to the field as much because your fucking groin is at you. Do you know what I mean? Like, those things add up and weigh on you.
Did you struggle with that?
I did, because I used to be a fella I used to want to touch the ball every day. So I'd have my few kicks and then go train the following day and maybe do something small the day after. I wasn't big into the gym. And that's how I got kind of sharp.
How you dislocated your shoulder.
Except for the bench. It was harsh in the bench. But then... once I couldn't get onto the field that many times, I started noticing.
It impacts your skill. Like.
Yeah, your skills 100%. Start coming on. And then I was completely reliant on skill because I didn't really have anything else. I wasn't a big, strong man or anything like that. So I was relying on skill. Once that went, I was like, this is a fucking slog now, like, you know. And then everyone's kind of saying, you know, he's not as good as he was or whatever. Like, that is mentally draining. Then it's a tough place to be, like, isn't it?
Yeah, it is,
and then sometimes you probably have to go because you're not... I've seen fellas not be a good influence around the place, or they might be given out, they're taken off, and it's just sometimes a clean break at the right time is just right.
Because not everyone can be a good influence either. Like, sometimes certain players, they can't be that player that you're talking about that can offer a little bit, be a good sub. Do you know? I'm sure Dublin had good subs. I'm sure Dublin had very bad subs, Paddy, as well. Players that wanted to start no matter what.
Yeah, but it does come back. You try and emphasise the environment that you need to be able to help your teammates. And everyone, there's 35 players. It's a big topic, obviously, for this weekend. The impact off the bench from Galway and Armagh that they'll get.
It's amazing.
Everyone wants to start. Everyone wants to play. And the reality is there's going to be 20-odd guys in the dressing room at any time that are getting not great news from Desi Farrell or Jim or any of the coaches with you guys. You can't be a prick about it. Like, you can't. And it's one of the great lessons you learn from team sport at any level, but particularly at operating at an elite level in Gaelic football like we did. If you're being an asshole around the place, your teammates will let you know about it. And you just can't, not conducive. You're not going to enjoy it. And I'll tell you what, your teammates will tell you about it as well. So there's times where you're frustrated with things, particularly like injuries and stuff, or you feel like you should be playing and you're not, but you've got to, you got to think about their team and the environment around you. It can't just be about you. And maybe at times when Dublin, maybe when I was starting my career and Dublin weren't as successful as they were, maybe that could creep in at times and it doesn't help the group. So you just need to be conscious.
Like Bernard and Paul Flynn would be a great example of that. Like they didn't play a lot the very last year. You know, and they could have easily walked away with a pocket load of medals and just said, you know, I'm done. But they didn't. They stayed around and did exactly what you just said.
Hmm. Push fellas and A versus B games and all of that. Yeah, you can see it.
Like. And younger players as well. You have to, like you said there, but younger players coming into a team, you know, it's funny when you start out, you're a fan. And you love the game. You watch the Sunday game religiously and there's an innocence about it. And the closer you get towards the top of the sport, the less innocence is there and it becomes really, really ruthless. And maybe the enjoyment at times isn't there all the time.
Do you find that?
I'm probably at the other, like, over at the other side.
Has it come back around for you?
Yeah, 100%.
You kind of, you're break it in and then you're a starter and you're the star and everything's so serious and then you realise I mightn't have much longer left doing this and you try and enjoy it a bit more again. Yeah. It's the cycle of it, but it's funny, you know, it can be really, really ruthless, but it can be the best time of your life as well. And I would have found when I was coming towards the end, I kind of knew that was my last season, the COVID year, which was unfortunate because it was a kind of shitty year for everyone. You would have had it with injuries kind of going, this could be it. You do just try and drag some sort of enjoyment out because once you hang up the boots, that is it.
Yeah.
You ain't going back. You've got, touch wood, 50, 60 years of living after it, but you're not going to be that guy anymore. And it's...
Well, you've 3 years of rain. Wake up if Tommy gets
it. I'm working on it.
You need to fucking sell me that.
Donnelly, we'll get it going.
That's a hard sell.
We'll get on. Leave it with us. I'm not going to linger on this, but I don't get the sense that that's a bugbear. The only reason I'm bringing it up is Joe Canning did an interview on Off the Ball a couple of years ago at 11 a.m. and he was asked if he was retiring and he said no. And at 3 o'clock he did an interview in the papers and he retired. So it's gone down an infamy.
World
so
exclusive. Yeah,
Just don't do it to me.
No, I won't. No, it's kind of, the season's so weird because you're like literally finished. I'm finished, 4 or 5 weeks now, and then we don't play again for so long. So it's kind of just...
It is mad. Yeah.
It is mad. Like we finished... We lose an All Ireland final and then we're back 6-7 weeks later and you're back, you know, you're back in the bubble and everything goes. So you're away from it for a long time. So
there's a bit of a mental break there as well, I suppose.
And then you're playing club football now for the next 6 months. And to James's point, like if you're not playing well at club level, like you just got to go out and play well at club level. And if you feel good come October, November, at the end of this year, yeah, hopefully.
But even, honestly, having a good club behind you is so important, isn't it? Like I saw fellas maybe lose their place with Kerry and go back playing club championship. They're playing junior club championship where they're struggling to get a team. Fellas, they're nearly pulling them out of the pub to play. Like, they're not getting any
exposure.
Nothing
wrong with that.
I know, but like in terms of getting your form back, then you're finished with Kerry and there's such a come down. It's like they're finished forever. Do you know?
Okay.
Like, I was so lucky to be able to go back to the club and still play football because otherwise I would have... You didn't play any club after you left, did you?
For the year, yeah.
A year, yeah. Like, it's not... You need a strong club behind you to take the burden or to take the time. You still need to give football some element of time.
You're obsessed with the Legion though. You won't even have a pint tonight.
Yeah, no. Clean living.
That's a pro, isn't
that's
it?
Good. We've all done Hook Up in November. I have to stay right for that.
So this weekend, we have an All-Ireland final.
Mm.
You've played in a few.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy them? I know it's a weird question, but the occasion over the event of it, can you appreciate that? Like, it's a big deal this weekend.
Yeah, I definitely enjoyed some of them. Obviously, up until some of them where we lost at the end. But no, I definitely enjoyed the build-up and some of those games were obviously tit-for-tat. Some of them were a bit sore, I would say. It was one or two. The Tyrone one was a hard one. And then maybe probably the first one as well because it was the very first one that we were in. But I think... It's a very enjoyable experience. It's a bit lot different as well because 2 weeks, you win an All Ireland semi final in the old system, you'd 4 weeks.
Yeah,
you know, like, or 4 or 3 weeks.
Five and 98.
Like, yeah. It's mad. Like whereas now it's upon you like that. Mm.
You nearly do 2 weeks of fitness work after preparation for the final.
Yeah, so, I think they're obviously massive occasions and definitely look back at them in terms of the All Ireland final, you know, enjoyably, but not obviously the result.
you're incredibly accustomed to this Galway side, but have you gone toe-to-toe with this Armagh side in recent years that much? Like, league football, they've been up and down a little bit.
We played them in a challenge game in January.
Oh, yeah?
In Pierce Park in Longford. They were playing, actually, mechanical final on the same day, and they came down with it. Like, we were like, mechanical finals on tonight. There's no way they're playing us today. So they came down with, like, a stronger team to play us in the challenge game. Madness. And all I remember is there was, like, it's a challenge game, so, like, subs kind of rolling off. And something happened that we ended up having, like, 16 players. Like, you know when somebody's walking off, kick out came out, somebody got it and just flicked it off to one of the boys, and he was the 16th man walking off. McGeaney went absolutely berserk, right? And Ryan was on the sideline, and the two of them nearly became to like he was like, one of them was calling him down, the other fellow was calling, come on, let's go, like, kind of stuff. I was like, what is going on here? This is absolutely insane. But
there was obviously a very famous Armagh Dublin challenge game in DCU back in 2015.
There was.
Were you there that day?
I was playing, yeah.
Did you hop the fence or were you playing?
I was playing.
There was a brawl, all our brawl.
They don't do challenge matches much now. They're coming to play, like.
Did they burn it up in hospital after that?
I can't remember. Really.
Somebody did. Somebody ended up in hospital.
It was spicy now.
Hey, this is Buck Joffrey, and if you are a high-paid professional looking to break free from the golden handcuffs, listen closely. Now, I went from being a busy surgeon to a real estate investor with over $2 billion in assets under management. And now I'm on a mission to share the wealth-building secrets of the ultra-rich with you. Imagine legally paying little or no taxes, shielding your assets from risk, and investing in distressed real estate during the current real estate meltdown. Did you know, for example, that right now, the high interest rates have created a rare chance in the market to buy discounted apartment buildings? By seizing this moment, you can position yourself for massive gains when rates inevitably drop. And I'll tell you what, that is exactly what we do in my podcast community together. Don't settle for conventional wisdom. Let me show you how the economy works and how you can use financial education to achieve true financial freedom. Tune into the Wealth Formula podcast with me, Buck Joffrey, and take control of your financial destiny.
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
From the throw-in,
he's back in the bubble. You can see. Back in
there. Has anyone actually told this story?
We're in front of a very small crowd here, Paddy.
Has anyone told this story since we've retired?
Jim Gavin has just whispered in his ear.
I don't think he's omnipresent. He's around somewhere. No, I was actually playing that match. It was hectic, though. Yeah,
yeah.
That was during. It was kind of
14-15, was it?
It might have been 15, but it was like early in the championship, so it was like that. There was gaps of 3 weeks between games, so we might have played a Leinster championship game, and this might have been the Tuesday night. And again, our man kind of came with a full crew, and we had some lads training in down St Clair's DCU where we train, and we're playing on the top pitch, and we were lining up, and the ref was coming out to throw the ball in, and
Dublin Joe refereeing it, was he?
I can't remember who was refereeing it. It might have been just a local club ref, because it was like totally behind closed doors, and there was just this commotion. They turned around and it was like the Royal Rumble, like unbelievable, and then everyone's coming in from the side.
Which end?
Forward end. So I was playing centre forward, and it was kind of happening in the back corner behind me, and I just seen lads flying across the pitch, and there was just
right. So that's Bernard Brogan or
I can't remember but it was full on, yeah, for about 10 minutes.
If you got sent off that time in a challenge match, you were suspended for
not this one, like
this one nothing came out from this one, yeah. Like very little came out. There was a couple of interviews, but very little came out, like.
But I think you'd have to have a word with the ref there, because if they do carry that in a report, you can be...
No, that's why I think it was like whenever it was arranged, it was like some fucking lad, we pulled him out of a bar and gave him a whistle, go ref this. Maybe that's why it descended into absolute chaos. But yeah, I have a couple of challenge matches with Armagh. We used to play Monaghan all the time as well.
But that was the makings of it. Gilroy brought you down to Monaghan.
Gilroy used to bring us down and play Monaghan. Banty was
in Clonan.
And the two, you swear to God, Gilroy and Banty would be talking about 2 minutes before throwing. What are they talking about? And the two of them were just saying, tell your lads to come out and fucking mill our lads. Like, and the same thing, Dick Clark and Owen Lennon and all these.
Because you used to have O'Gara, yeah. Cawley, Mastic. Yeah.
And we'll walk Billy. The pitch, match would be abandoned, and Killer and Banty would be delighted. That was great. Great night's work. And we're going, what was the fucking point of that? No football play, but it was maybe, I don't know, it was coaches have different agendas in their head. Like, none of this free flowing football and those challenge matches. Jesus.
I reckon tomorrow will start off like that.
Do you actually?
I do.
We got obviously the final. Normal time
is
too.
When we played Ian. Was a 17, and do you remember everyone was on the deck fighting before.
But that was a very tense game.
I mean, everyone knew. No, 17.
No, you weren't Donnie that day.
Oh, Croker. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. You went full back from the throw-in.
Well, never go back to the full back line.
No. No benefit.
Did,
no,
right.
I tried the throw-up and then went back then. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It was.
Oh, is that
no, I, yeah, scary, we scary kind of thought it might be coming all right. But.
Why? How did you know?
Because DB, like, there was, like, I literally.
Brady said it.
Yeah, DB, like, completely oblivious. And, like, I hadn't trained there, nothing. And then I, like, got a call to meet Rachi on the Saturday evening after we trained. And everybody else had played in there, like, in training. And I got in as the Donaghy and meets me for coffee. And he's like, come here, thinking about playing you full back next week. Like, two choices. I could say no or just go sound. So I just said, okay, sound, let's do it. So, that was it. And I literally trained there on the Wednesday. And the boys didn't even know fully because I only did like a few high balls in. Yeah. And that was it. But it was bizarre. Like, I never, it's the scariest place. Like, I honestly, got like the amount is like the way Mayo play, like the amount of space in front of you. I was just there going, oh my God, if they kick it there, I'm bothered to kick it there. I said, this is honestly the scariest place in the world.
I found going back, it was like, you know football so well. It's probably the one thing in your life you're a total expert in. You've played it since you were 3 or 4 years of age, you've been playing at a high level from development squads the whole way up, all the coaching, and you feel like, I'm comfortable anywhere on a football pitch. You talk to me about this or explain, I'll get this. And then you go back into the full back line and you're like, I haven't a fucking clue what I'm doing here. Like, and then you turn around and go, you go on to the gooch then. And then you know you're totally fucked. And it was the one time where I was totally nervous. You're out of your comfort zone completely. And
it's awful.
It's horrendous. It's such a specialised position. I had a respect for them having been back there. And I'd always say, well, we're analysing games and stuff and we're talking about it on the pod and cornerbacks have a bad day. I'd always be going, oh, that can happen. That can happen to anyone.
What was Donnie saying to you when you went back?
I never should
have. He didn't say anything to me to start with. And pure naively, somebody was running off his shoulder. I think it was Stephen O'Brien or something. That first ball, he wins it. And I was like, surely he's running Stephen O'Brien. So I just moved over to him and he just turned over onto his right foot, took a solo, curled it over the bar. I was like, oh fuck. I was like, here we go. And then there was a bit of chirping going on, and then Shamey got dispossessed in the 45 and Stephen O'Brien ran in the goal and he was roaring at me. He was like, just like, and I was just like, I couldn't say anything. And like, you know, I don't even know what fullbacks usually do. Like, you know, I was like, what's acceptable to say back here? So I was like kind of going, I could, then I won a ball and I was like getting a bit more confident.
But any
I was,
ball like, you won, like, the crowd fucking loved it as well. So usually for us, when Danahy won a ball, it was the crowd loved it. But if Aidan came out with one, then it was like twice the noise. But then, like, we after the draw that day, for the replay, it was a replay at the time, wasn't it?
It was a replay.
And
everyone knew when the ball was going to be thrown in that it was just going to kick off.
How do you know?
You just know it's simmering all the time, and then the ref just went down to pick up the ball, and like that, he looked around, and there was just 10 pairs on the ground.
But it was
it was one on one. There was no everyone coming into a different fight. Everyone had their own.
Was there any badness, or was it just?
I suppose
14 from 14. There was a bit of a hangover from 14, I'd say.
I think it was just from the first day. Yeah. It was like, I know. I thought from our point of view, it was like we have to physically up it a bit. So if there's anything going on before throwing, you fucking take it to the last. Like, go to the point without getting sent off. But like, that's why on Sunday I would be shocked if it wasn't the most physical, aggressive, in your face game. I just think that both sides can bring it, especially Armagh. I think Armagh can instigate it and try and intimidate Galway a bit. I think Galway have it in them as well. But I am expecting it to be.
Do you think it'll boil over?
I think it's going to be simmering all the way. I think it'll have flashpoints.
What do you think?
Yeah, it's
like, you've physically gone up against Galway in very, very tight games in recent years.
Yeah, I wouldn't say there is antagonising, let's say, in Armagh. So I agree with that point. I think it'll be interesting to see just how direct our early doors. Like, they were quite direct against Kerry early doors. But will they resort to kind of holding possession? I don't think so. I think they're going to actually roll the dice a little bit with the ball early doors.
Sure. I think it's the best chance.
Yeah.
I think it's the best chance to win it.
And go along into Mernon and Turbeth. Put Rhian O'Neill in there.
You'll see Rhian O'Neill in there. Mm-hmm. I think they're gonna kick the ball. Like, they've got good kickers of the football, and they can, like, you know, we talked about diagonal ball earlier on about Stephen McDonald and stuff. I think they're gonna go and kick the ball, which I hope from a spectacle perspective they do. And like, I know you were asking about Armagh. Like, my thing is, like, Armagh have, like, I looked to their bench for the weekend. Like, it's insane. Like, they're literally all their subs. You could say if you put them in, like, you're not making them up or down. Mm. You know, so like, it's.
What do you like? Do you like that? Like, that they can turn to a Ross McQuillan or a Jarley O'Byrne's
Campbell
or a Stephen Campbell.
Campbell, Nugent, Duffy. Like, strong, like.
When you're on the field, do you like that coming off the bench, or would you like that to be starting?
As in their team?
Yeah, if you were, say, out there, like.
Oh, no, like, they've got, like, I think they're just blessed with a lot of really good players at the moment. And, like, there's not, you couldn't look at anybody that's starting and go, well, you know, like, you can see the logic in terms of what they're doing. So, I think, it's, we had that problem with Dublin where you're going, right, you usually go into a game and you're, some of the team's got about maybe 18 or 19 players, but like, you're looking at Dublin, you're going, they've probably got five plus another couple that they're going to bring on. They only bring on five, but they could bring on maybe seven or eight. Mm. And you got to think about that. So like, for Galway, they're going to have to think about those guys coming off the bench, which is a big advantage, I think, for Armagh.
The biggest thing you say with all of them, and we spoke about this before on the pod, and this is a big thing for Dublin this year with Jack McCaffrey's call.
Yeah,
like, coming off the bench, the bigger pace in Croke Park, the last quarter, it's going to be flat to the mat from the first whistle. Space opens up, no matter how defensive or how structured, and both these teams are really strong defensively. It's really key strength for them, how well they're set up and how hard they're to play against. But even with that, there will be space in that final quarter, and the biggest plus coming off the bench is pace and athleticism. If you have guys like that, they don't need to be the best footballers. Armagh have really quality players, but the key attributes of McQuillan, Jarley O'Byrne's, Campbell, they're lightning. And that is, if you've just played 55 minutes and you see that coming off the bench, it's why we would have used it with McManaman famously, or McCaffrey last year for Dublin. It's just hard. You're running on empty and you know you've got a live wire coming on. It's such an advantage. Galway have impact off the bench, maybe not to the level of Armagh, and it could be, there's so little between these teams at the weekend, but that is a big advantage Armagh have in their locker.
But the last three times these guys have played, it's been a draw, right?
Yeah.
So the last group game this year, group game last year.
Armagh bet them by a point. Watch
last kick of the game. Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So and then like, a draw.
It should have been a draw, yeah.
Yeah, should have been a draw. But sorry, the Galway side, we might actually take a couple of questions in the next few minutes, but the Galway team you've come up against, like you beat them by a point in Salt Hill in the preliminary quarterfinals. What might have happened if you both topped the group and went straight through to a quarterfinal last year, we'll never know. This year, they beat you by a point in the Connacht final. You were in charge of that game for quite a bit. What are you seeing with this Galway team from the last couple of years and where they are now?
Yeah, like, well, if you take it back to when PJ came in first, like, you know, he wanted to play, and I heard him this week talking about how, you know, he's probably a little bit naive in terms of how the game was going to be played. Like, obviously, defensively, very, very strong. Would have seen that with Keane O'Neill when he was with us.
Yeah.
That's obviously paramount to what they do. And, like, they've got some really, really good top defenders. And a lot of their game is based on that. I also think physically, I love the way that they actually go and kick the ball out long, deliberately. And they're happy enough to lose.
Not many teams do that.
No. And they're saying, okay, and like, if you look at the Donegal game, they were struggling early doors in that. Yeah. They were like, no, we're going to keep going because we know we're going to win it. We're going to win enough of them that we're going to get enough scores off it.
And what happens when you go along and you're winning primary possession at the field? Does that give you extra legs later in the game?
Well, I think it, like, you're bypassing so many players, first of all. The attack is a lot quicker. You can get the ball to the likes of Finnerty, Walsh, Comer in more space, and you're getting the likes of McDade, McHugh coming up. It simplifies the game an awful lot more.
It does.
But it suits their players.
It does,
as well. They've got monsters across that midfield and half forward line. Yeah. And we've all played inside, the faster the transition, the better for the forward. Yeah. If it's slow and it's ponderous and it's a short kick out and it takes 60 seconds to transition up the pitch, there's no space.
Mm.
Whereas you go long, there's a risk you might lose it. But instead of, you could be in the opposition's 45 within 3 seconds. their space then. And Galway have the quality to exploit that.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see if, like, if you're going up against Gleeson, like, Gleeson knows he's going out there next day to kick the ball long.
Yeah.
Do Armagh just sit out and go, here, they give will. The ball, yeah. Like, and does he still go over, like, you know, because then all of a sudden it's a bit game of cat and mouse. And it's going, I just think that's going to be an interesting dynamic. Does he tease him into a short and see if he goes there? Because, like, I think he's just going to go as long as he can.
I could see Armagh. Do you remember Lode played Dublin?
Yeah.
And Lode did retreating off the kick out fucking like
they just legged it.
They went back to their own 45.
Yeah.
But they won't go that far. I could see Armagh just nullifying that Galway kick out by dropping way off.
Yeah.
Because, and I actually think it has Keane O'Neill all over it. Do you remember that ring of steel that Keane used to say? He brought it down from me to us.
Did he?
We were his next
job.
The
hurlers, us.
Yeah. Yeah, we were his next job after me. I had this ring of steel where he got like big fellas over one side and he had all planned runners to get under the brakes. Like, he loves the long kick out. Okay. I think it's him all over it. But Armagh can't be beaten on that, because if Galway win it clean, I know from being a corner forward myself, as soon as the ball goes long, you're one pass away from being in the game. If Walsh and Comer are one pass away after Galway catch it, they can cause
wreck.
So I can't see Armagh falling for that. I'd be shocked.
Okay. We're here in McGrattan Spar tonight with a few Football Pod members. Thanks very much for coming out. We're here with thanks to AIB, proud sponsors of the Senior Football Championship. Check out hashtag the toughest for more. Does anyone want to put a question to Paddy or James or Aidan? We'll just let this man go first and I'll come to you then after that. Okay. What's your name?
Sorry.
John.
Lovely. Oh, there's a mic. There is.
No, you're next. Sorry.
Did the lads think that Johnny Marr or Liam Silk could pick up Perrine O'Neill on Sunday?
Just one is you go or down.
I think Marr is too important for his industry around the middle to be given a detail. I know he did it against Fenton, but I just think I can't see him going man-to-man at Rean. I think just the amount of work he does that allows the likes of Conroy to get on the ball, I think he just does the work of like two or three men. He's outrageous, like what he does.
Do you notice that when you're playing against him?
Yeah. He just seems, his energy around the pitch, like it's not like he's lightning fast, but he's at that trot and that you just stay at it all the time.
He has a few dummies and steps. Yeah, and he's awkward enough.
He's awkward to play against. Like.
Yeah, but I wouldn't see him on Rean. Dylan McHugh might pick him up, I think, if he floats into the forward line. Could, yeah.
Would that be taking away from Dylan McHugh?
McHugh is cute enough, though, to cheat. Yeah, he is.
Because when they go,
they go. Rean on the back foot anyway, at least. Kerry put Gavin White on Rean.
Yeah.
And it worked in the first 15 minutes, but physically, Rean's a big boy.
Yeah, he is.
Like, I think you need someone to physically match him.
I think Rean's going to play a lot of time in the forward line. So
really,
yeah. So like, if that's the, he did the lot. He tried to pull White inside.
Yeah.
So if he does that, then like Fitzgerald will probably pick him up. It's just like they've got Galway. The problem for Galway is if they go with two big inside, right? If they go Mernon and they go Rean O'Neill, who matches up with them? So like
Silk will go back on one.
So Silk goes back on Fitzgerald.
Who goes? Yeah.
So like
we have to remember, Silk struggled with Gallen in the first half of that. Like, Gallen scores 3 points for playoff when Silk is in the man-to-man role. He excels when he goes and he kicks that winner and unbelievable score on his left foot.
3-2
further out the pitch.
3-2
of them off. One of the big pluses I see in Galway, if you look from the Donegal game, was Donegal's running game was causing havoc for teams. Patter Morgan, Ryan McHugh, Owen Bon Gallagher and these guys. I was going, what are Galway going to do with these? We were up in level 7. What great view of it. They kept Walsh, Conroy and Finnerty up the pitch. Unbelievably brave.
Like they're playing the new rules.
And I said, like, just keep you three guys up. And they backed their 12. They didn't go man-to-man on anyone. Bar, they put Silk on Gallen. But they brought 12 defenders back, really narrow, left the wide channels open, and they didn't go man-to-man around with anyone. They left boys out the pitch and said, okay, we might give up a few long-range scores with Langan and Thompson.
Langan did swing over.
But that,
four buttes.
That's
not going to be enough to win the game. Galway just said, we're not going to concede a goal here.
Yeah.
So they didn't go man-to-man. They had a defensive structure which shut down a major threat for Donegal, and they adapted to that challenge. And that's the beauty of what Keane O'Neill brings in, or Divo there. Galway will play. They might not necessarily worry about Rean O'Neill specifically, but they'll have a system to stop. How do we shut down the influence of Turbitt, O'Neill? Maybe not concede goals, but we're happy to maybe let our man try and long range shots and maybe get to 13 or 14 points. So it's they'll have something in plan for.
Kathleen, who else have we got there?
I'll have one here for Aidan, please. Just
What's your name for you? You got to put your name on the record.
Ricky.
Ricky, good man.
Next.
Just considering you've marked Sean Kelly so many times before, what does he, if he's fit, what does he offer Galway? And where would you play him the next day?
The question mark is, obviously a brilliant player. Really, really brilliant player. I think, I always thought he's most effective when he plays full back. I think, personally, since they've moved him out of there, I don't think he's been effective because it's very difficult for me or anybody else who marks in that position to go back with him all the time. And then when somebody else has to pick him, he kind of gets lost in the transition of the attack.
Comes late.
Yeah. And you think of some of the, he's got some great goals coming late around.
He's got more scores from fullback than he has anywhere else.
But even assists from there as well.
Yeah, I don't think he will play fullback, obviously, but I think that's his best position and how he's been most effective for Galway. The interesting thing about whether he plays or not is obviously he's a better footballer than Keane Darcy, but Keane Darcy gives him the size on the kick out that they want. So it's an interesting dynamic around I hope for him he is fit to start. He's obviously a brilliant footballer.
Were they playing him out the field because of his body? Do you know the way, you're not going to be playing fullback if your hamstring can go, or if your ankle, you can't turn sharply. Like, you kind of get away with...
It's more space.
It's more space. You're not going to be completely cut out if you're playing around the middle.
I always think if you're good at fullback, people always go, we could definitely get more out of this fella out the field somewhere. Like, always this narrative he's too good to be playing fullback. You know, let's put him out the field. So I think it wasn't the injury. I think they thought they could get more legs and stuff up the field. But I think he's best position is fullback. He won't play there if he plays.
How did you get on when you were marking him?
The problem is that he just literally, if there's any turnover, he's gone. No. And you're kind of going, in that quick transition, you're like, you've got a decision to make. Do you kind of sit?
Pass him on.
Pass him on. A lot of pointing going on.
Andy Moore made that nerd, didn't he? Pass him on.
Oh, well, he was an absolute master at it,
He just got on tying his boots there. Fuck, he's gone. Shit. Okay.
Two good questions. Anyone else have a question they want to put up? You can give us a shout there. What's your name?
I figured this question was going to come sometime tonight.
Cue answer.
Better you than me asking it.
What have they written down here? No, it's just, it's actually funny. History repeating itself a little bit in terms of, you look at the 90s, 96, 97, Mayo probably won the majority of the Connacht titles in that 90s era. And then Galway come along and win too. Look, it's more the narrative that's out there. Like, obviously, a few mates in that Galway team. I wouldn't begrudge them at all. Win an All-Ireland medal. Absolutely fair play to them. We've been there a good few times and didn't grasp our opportunity. So if Galway grasp our opportunity on Sunday, all power to them. It won't be. That'll be begrudging anybody winning an All-Ireland medal. It's very hard to win it. I know that. These boys have a couple of them. So, it's a difficult championship at the moment to try and win it. There's a lot of teams in around the same level. And if Galway pull it through in terms of where they've been, with all the injuries they've got, Shane Walsh struggling with injury, Comer can't get a run in terms of injury, Sean Kelly the same. It's a massive achievement.
Mm. Yeah, no, it is.
Just in terms of the forwards on Sunday, you often hear goals win games. Who do you think between Armagh and Galway have the better set of forwards, subs included?
I think Galway have the better forwards. Comer is so dangerous if he's isolated with a fella.
You think Galway have the better forwards? You picked the team during the week with five Armagh forwards then.
Five Armagh forwards. How dare you? This is Tommy again with the Porkies. I had Walsh, Comer, McDade.
Okay, you did. And you started to go.
Have anyone else? I think Walsh on his day is the silkiest, classiest player in the country. He's probably in the top three players, but like silky, the points he can kick are outrageous. He actually doesn't have that many goals in him. Actually, now that we think about it, he'll create a goal rather than get one maybe. But Comer, there's something about Comer that when he's on it and he's this big physical presence and he wants to take men on, The crowd love it. The opposition hate it. I just think there's something in that, in that duo, if they can get the chemistry right on Sunday.
Finnerty has in form.
Finnerty, brilliant player, but these two are, I think they're a level slightly above Finnerty at the moment.
Okay.
But Finnerty's been carrying that knee injury as well. I think Finnerty can get there. But if those two can show the chemistry that they haven't yet, because one plays well, the other maybe doesn't.
Okay.
If they can both play 7 or 8 out of 10.
That's a problem for all, that whole, like Galway, if you look at two wing forwards, who are two ideal prototype wing forwards you'd want? Killy McDade and Matty Tierney. But McDade was brilliant against Dublin. Matty Tierney, we're still waiting for that massive performance. Comer and Walsh are as good as anything inside. Finnerty complements them well. If that Galway unit, and you compare, and I know our man have Turbot, who is having season of his life for Rian O'Neill. Grugan's a really smart player. They have loads of pluses. But if you're talking, and we said this on the pod during the week, the ceiling of both of these two teams, if that Galway unit clicks, those six forwards play to their potential and complement each other, I'd say they're probably the best in the country, never mind in terms of comparing it to Armagh. So that's the question mark. We haven't seen it from Galway yet. It's been too patchy. One guy has a brilliant game, the other two or three are quiet. If they all click, they'll win this game on Sunday, hands down. But that's the, we haven't seen it yet.
Do you want to answer that?
Yeah, I think in fairness, the question was in terms of the subs as well. And I think that's a like, there's probably the expectation that if Shane Walsh over the last couple of games has come off, so if he's not on the pitch in the last 10, 12 minutes, like that's a massive fill-up for Armagh. And I think there's some really good players coming off the bench. Like Campbell, like he's nearly like, he's like Kev McPhee. Like he's like a guaranteed score. So in terms of the overall package, I think you're right in terms of starting-wise. There's obviously the upside if the boys go well. But I think Armagh off the bench, impact is huge. And like, I think Grugan's a cracking player. I don't think he's been like at his absolute best yet. I think there could be something there on Sunday for him. I think
he was the year after you, minor, was he, or maybe the year?
Yeah, they beat Mayo in the Killian's year. Himself and Mernon.
Mernon was full forward.
Good team. We might take one or two more lads, and then I think we're going to wrap it up on Grand Point. There's
that's you. Yeah.
The Galway jersey.
Is it a Galway jersey?
It's a UL jersey, but it's the Galway colour.
What's your name?
Saoirse.
How are you, Saoirse? Go on.
Yeah, all good. I was just wondering, who's player of the year so far, if you were to answer right now?
Aidan, you're on the spot.
That's a great question.
Do you know the front runners? I can give you the front runners.
Well, I'll guess them.
Go on, go for it.
Dylan McHugh. Turbo.
Yeah. I'm not actually sure who's after that, but they are the two front runners.
I'd say they're two front runners.
Rian O'Neill's in the mix if he has a big day.
The final is so important.
So important,
it is.
Yeah.
If you get mad at a match in the final, it's worth 40% of the vote.
It's wide open, actually, isn't it? But you know, this year of all years, I think that halfbacks are running the game. Like the attacks are slow, right? The inside forwards are being marshalled. Halfbacks are coming late. They're the ones dictating the play on the outside, and they're sneaking in for scores. Like, the halfbacks are now becoming so influential. They're running the game from there.
Can I throw a name into the mix? Because I think that's interesting what you're saying. He's lined out halfback a bit, but he's done man-marking jobs and bomb forward. And if he has a big day the next day,
Cambridge.
He'll go along with it. Could McCambridge be in the mix? Yeah. Fellow didn't start.
He was carrying Knox to start of the year.
He'll be on.
But like, how big a job he's done in every single game?
I wouldn't put him into that category yet.
He couldn't have a man marker getting footballer. Couldn't bring himself to say that.
A decade on from you winning it yourself.
Yeah, great decision.
Come on, who would you go for before James? Does it all depend on Sunday?
I think it depends. I think it's very tight. There's probably four or five in the mix. If somebody has a
Connolly could have an incredible season.
Yeah.
If someone grabs this game for the scuff of the neck on Sunday, and it's Paul Connery gets 3 points for playing, gets man of the match, or Rian O'Neill wins this thing for Armagh, or Turbot goes and really announces himself, hits one forward, that will swing it. There's a lot of, it's tight, it's probably,
I think the best player has been Turbot. That's my view. He's been out. I think like, if you like go through the whole, like from the whole start of the season, he's been.
And you look at last year, him being dropped at times during championship games or coming back.
They dropped him.
McGinley managed those.
It's a big deal. It's free care for life, isn't it?
Free care. The care was gone. If I won it in 2014,
you and Richie Hogan shared the care.
The award in 2013.
You shared the care, didn't you?
No, we just took a photo inside in the car and it fucked us off.
All right.
Two free drink vouchers for some pub.
James's club championship tomorrow. He's actually going back to Clarence tonight. So we're going to take one more question. Kathleen, who have we got?
Sorry, Ronan here. This is a question for Aidan. I just wanted to ask, how difficult is it for teams to compete for both the league and the championship now, given the last two or three years there's been a lot of division, there's been two Division Two teams now in the All-Ireland final, and is it possible like to compete for both now, given the new structure?
Yeah, that's another good question. I think it's a massive challenge. I think the problem is, like, if you look at Galway, had injuries throughout the league, the actual frequency of games is very difficult, and to try and get up for, you know, 6-7 league games and win a national league title and then roll in like we did last year into a championship game 6-7 days later, it's very, very difficult. And you want to be probably hitting your provincial championships in very fresh, not having exerted too much energy during the league. Obviously you want to survive, all that good stuff, but I don't think it's probably, in the current structure, probably the most advisable thing to be going balls out for a league title. I think it's
the biggest thing with this structure then, that because the league's incredible competition.
Yeah.
We've all played
it. Saving yourself during
it. We love the games. There's only three fucking competitions. Mm. The league, the provincial championship, and then the All-Ireland. And I think it's a shame. And I like loads of aspects of the split season. But the fact that the National League is now, there's teams actively trying not to win the thing, just devalues the whole thing. For such a brilliant competition, they need to... Because you're right. You guys... Last year, Rossi's getting new. The following week, Dublin and Derry, look at her, flying it during the National League. And 6 weeks later, they both run out of gas completely. So it's too important a competition to be sacrificing the thing. Mm. Mm.
Did you talk about that, like going for a different approach this year as opposed to last year?
Not really. Like, I mean, the first year, obviously Kevin came in, we were just go...
Mad for road.
Let's go win some games. And then... Like some of those games are tight, you know, and then all of a sudden you can land in a, you know, yourself, you get to like the end of like round six or round seven of the league and you're kind of going, win this weekend, we're in a final, you know, you end up in a final or semi-final back in. And then you go, right, let's go try and win this, you know.
Kevin spoke a lot this year about rhythm and keeping in control. And I know it didn't happen that way, but it was a big conversation this year, being in control in the group stage of your destiny for the quarterfinal.
Yeah, I don't think we like change anything hugely, but maybe just in terms of load and training and all that stuff, that scientific stuff that they'd be at. I presume we didn't probably go after some of the games as much as we wanted. I think we were happy enough once we got to a certain amount of points it wasn't talked about that. You don't say that in the dressing room where you go, right, lads, we're not going to go and try. You know, it's we're going to
lose this one.
Yeah, you know, but
oh god.
We didn't change it, but the whole idea was try and get out of the group, top of the group, and get 2 weeks into a quarterfinal. But obviously, you know, we failed on that against Dublin. Mm.
It's been a really interesting hour with you. Thanks very much for coming up and chatting with us. Toughest question of the night. We've struggled with this all year long. Predictions. Can you give us your prediction of what way you think
can't say
the
draw.
2024 All Ireland final? I've already taken the draw. What have you gone already this week?
I think Galway will win.
You both Galway, aren't you?
Galway, extra time.
Oof.
Aidan O'Shea, are you going to leave a full house here for Galway?
Yeah, there's a kind of just a bit of like, with Galway, I just think it's kind of, looks like it's just going to happen. You know, everything seems to just be kind
of
fun.
Not dangerous though?
No, I think they're in a, like they've been winning games without, like, and no offence to those players, but some of them haven't been playing, their best players haven't been playing fantastically.
Oh, yeah.
And they're winning games. That's a great position to be in going into a final. And I know they're favourites and there's probably a bit of pressure in that way, but, geez, like, if you were, Damien Comer had played three unbelievable games in a row, but, like, geez, he's probably can't wait to get out there on Sunday. And Walsh, you know, he's obviously building up his fitness back up again. I just think... the way things are falling for them, I feel in Galway are going to win it.
It's interesting.
Even with Galway, they didn't play great in that semi-final. And
against Donegal?
You know, they left a bit in the tank. There's more to them. There's way more.
There is.
And even in terms of their... They weren't jumping up and down all over the place after winning that game. Do you know, it was like...
You mean it was more controlled, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Whereas with Armagh, it was such a weight off the shoulders and a great win for the group. And like they would have had to come down to get back up.
Yeah.
I think that the Galway are just on kind of a path that way, whereas Armagh kind of up and down emotionally. I think that Galway are just stable and ready to
we said last, the there's more question marks around Armagh's performance. You're not entirely sure what way they're going to approach the game tactically, mentally. That's the first All-Ireland final for all of them. Will that be a burden for them? Will they throw the shackles off completely and we'll get the last 30 minutes against Kerry? We're not sure on what's going to come out of Armagh on Sunday. I think there's more, you're more confident of what you'll get from Galway, and they're creeping up and up and up, and they've won some massive games, taking out Dublin, taking out the Ulster champions, but it feels like there's way more in the tank for them. And that is, Ada, you said it, that's a brilliant position to be in going into this final.
The only thing, when I look at the last two games of, like, and you were talking about scoring zones, if you look at the Galway scoring zone, like, they've kicked some massive points against Dublin, and against Donegal. Like, they've kicked monsters, like, and I know they've got massive kickers that can kick, obviously, kick long-range points, but the sustainability of that, you wouldn't be allowed to kick them if Jim Gavin was manager, like, I put it that way. Like, you'd be running it in and fisting it over the bar. So I think they need to get a couple of more, what I would call, handy scores.
Well, I think what the lads have been saying for the last few weeks, the lads clicking inside. I don't think we've seen that chemistry.
Yeah.
Okay, nicely said. Thanks very much for everyone for coming out tonight. It's been lovely having you here and for tuning in to us all year long. Thanks to AIB for keeping the show on the road and bringing us on the road as well. Twice this week isn't too bad, Paddy and James. Well done.
That was all right.
Aidan O'Shea, best of luck with the club this year. Well done on the season with Mayo. I hope we see you back again next year.
Good luck with the wedding.
We leave that up to you. And best of luck with the wedding. Is there a hen going on in Clarny this weekend?
There's, they kind of drag it out, so it's the posh hen now this weekend. Okay. So they went to Barcelona on the real hen, and it's the posh hen now this weekend. So they'll have a good time, I'm sure.
Best luck with everything like that, and we might grab a pint here. So thanks, everyone, and we'll see you again.
Thanks
very much.
The Football Pod on Off The Ball.
In partnership with AIB.
Proud sponsors of the GAA Senior Football Championship.
Check out #TheToughest for more.
Hey, this is Buck Joffrey, and if you are a high-paid professional looking to break free from the golden handcuffs, listen closely. Now, I went from being a busy surgeon to a real estate investor with over $2 billion in assets under management. And now, I'm on a mission to share the wealth-building secrets of the ultra-rich with you. Imagine legally paying little or no taxes, shielding your assets from risk, and investing in distressed real estate during the current real estate meltdown. Did you know, for example, that right now, the high interest rates have created a rare chance in the market to buy discounted apartment buildings? By seizing this moment, you can position yourself for massive gains when rates inevitably drop. And I'll tell you what, that is exactly what we do in my podcast community together. Don't settle for conventional wisdom. Let me show you how the economy works and how you can use financial education to achieve true financial freedom. Tune into the Wealth Formula Podcast with me, Buck Joffrey, and take control of your financial destiny.